We are so excited to launch the Woman Run podcast. Wright, Lindsay, and Jennings started Woman Run in 2019 to help build community and to share the stories of those who inspire us. Over the years, we've highlighted women who start businesses, women who lead businesses, and women who help others grow through mentorship and collaboration. We believe that building community through shared experiences helps everyone thrive. A rising tide lifts all boats, and we want to be part of the tide of change. With Woman Run, the podcast, we want to meet you where you are and provide the resources and motivation that you can access when your schedule allows. We hope you enjoyed this new format, and we look forward to hearing from you about speaker ideas and how Woman Run can continue to cultivate this community. Our guest today is Annabeth Gorman, the Chief Executive Officer of the Women's Foundation of Arkansas. My name is Meredith Lowry. I'm a patent attorney at Wright, Lindsay & Jennings, and I am so excited to get to talk with Annabeth today about the Women's Foundation of Arkansas, all the things that you've been doing. You've been here doing this role for 9 years?
Yes, 9 years in April. So we're going to finish out Women's History Month, and I'll be celebrating 9 years.
I feel like that needs a toast. So congrats.
Yeah, thank you. 9 years. It's been just, when I think about 9 years, like how fast that's gone, you know, every day there's still a new challenge. There's something going on where the organization looks completely different from what it was 9 years ago. Although I think we're still rooted in the same values, but we are phenomenally so a much different organization.
Let's jump back even further than 9 years.
Okay. Okay.
So yes. Women's Foundation of Arkansas is how old?
They were founded in 1998, and there's a great origin story.
Yes.
And I love to tell my version of it because I think I have a really good delivery of it. So
I love your version. I've heard it a couple times.
So, and my version is based on fact. Let me just clarify that. It's based on fact. So in 1998, let's go back and prior to that, 5 years before 1998. Okay, so 1993, Olivia Farrell was then the publisher owner of Arkansas Business, so the state's largest, most recognized business journal.
Woman-owned.
Woman-run. Aha. Okay, so she was having a lunch with a male colleague, and they were talking about boards, public boards in Arkansas, business boards, and a comment was just, I think, probably made off the cuff about, you know, we'd put more women on boards, Olivia, if only there were qualified women to do it. And Olivia Farrell did not appreciate that comment and said, well, I'll show you 100 qualified women. And so for the next 5 years, she used her position of power and influence in the community, and she published a list of the top 100 women in Arkansas. You know, her vast knowledge of the business community, of women in business and from the connections using Arkansas Business, just vast network, an actual physical copy of this publication was mailed to every subscriber of Arkansas Business for 5 years. Like, here are 100 women doing incredible things. Like, these are women that need to be on your boards, you're in your leadership positions. And coinciding with that list that they published, they would have a luncheon to honor these women, to honor and recognize these women. Well, on the fifth anniversary of that, you know, after so many years of doing it, it was like, this is great. We're great. We're giving ourselves a pat on the back. We're great. We're giving ourselves an atta girl. It's great that we are seeing women enter into spaces and places that they've never been in before. But what about the women that aren't on this list? What about the women in across the state of Arkansas that, you know, aren't on the pages of Arkansas Business? Like, how are we going to help them and help our state where we've got a pretty poor narrative about women?
Yeah.
And so several great minds came together. Then there were Pat Lyle, who was a leader at the time of Arkansas Community Foundation, her board chair, some other women that were high ranking there. They worked with Olivia and really socialized this idea about a women's foundation. And a women's foundation can be something as simple as a philanthropic fund that exists and is used to grant out to other organizations that serve women and girls. And so in 1998, the final luncheon of the top 100 women of business, there was a call to action of the women there in the room. And like, today we have an opportunity by virtue of the power of our collective purse.
And I love that part.
Power of our collective purse, power of our position of influence and standing to do something for the women that aren't here today. And they formed the Women's Foundation, started out as a little fund, at the Community Foundation. Within a few short years, it became its own 501c3, a nonprofit. And in that iteration, we have been and are the only statewide foundation that exists to support women and girls' economic mobility in the state of Arkansas.
And we still celebrate the power of the purse every year.
Yeah, and I love that event. You know, Central Arkansas loves its events, but Power of the Purse is really special if you come to it. And it is not just ladies who lunch. And over the years, we've really worked hard to get sponsors and companies to come and to encourage men to come as well. We kind of have a narrative every year about why we've selected these women to honor. You know, what are we hoping to educate and empower the crowd to do? How do we mobilize this incredible group of people to do more for the women that aren't in the room? To me, that's what's special about the program. It's that I think people come, they leave really inspired, excited, and you see incredible things happen afterwards.
Now, I'm most of the time in Northwest Arkansas. One of the things I love about that, it is a statewide event. It is not just Central Arkansas celebrating Central Arkansas women.
Right.
We have women that we have recognized from Northwest, from Northeast, from Southwest, it is a collaboration. And when I walk into that room, I still feel like I know half the room, because even though it's statewide and there's so many right. people from all corners of our state, it is this community. You've built the Women's Foundation and you have built this amazing thing.
I appreciate that. That makes me feel really happy, because I go to a lot of events around the state, and sometimes you walk in, I don't know a few people, but you do. You walk into Power of the Purse and you women across the state are coming like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, or working on this. But it's a sense of community. It's a sense of community building for the purpose of positive action for women and girls. But yes, we are so intentional and we're so thoughtful about the format of that program that happens in the fall. Annually, we honor 3 to 4 women in the areas of public service, business, philanthropy. Sometimes we have some extra awards depending on just the nature of the event that year. But I mean, again, we're thoughtful about making sure there's statewide representation, really, that so the women all aren't from one area, and that they themselves, we're going to work really hard to bring their community to this event. And in doing that, so many people have an opportunity to meet each other, to talk to each other, to learn about really great work that's happening in other parts of the state, and how can they either build upon that, collaborate with, or reimagine it for their own backyard.
So one thing that I love too about the origin story, some of those women that were like, okay, Women's Foundation are still involved. They still go to the Power of the Purse.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, we're talking about 27 years ago now. We call those women the founders. They're the founders. And of that group, there were about 100 women. I think there's actually a few men too, technically founders, that were some supporters early on. But we had several to this day that are very engaged. They act as, advisors to me. They are financial supporters to the organization. They're advocates for the organization. But also those women, everyone knows who those women are. Like, they are literally the women that transformed business in Arkansas. These are women that are, had incredible, illustrious careers. They themselves have become honorees. They're in the Women's Hall of Fame now. That's actually what I love. If you look at the Arkansas Women's Hall of Fame, that is not, it's its own nonprofit, not associated with the Women's Foundation. The majority of women that are through the Hall of Fame have in some form or fashion been a part of the Women's Foundation of Arkansas. So I think that that's really cool.
It's a great day. One thing that everyone knows this. I'm so geeky when it comes to data. The thing that I feel like not a lot of people realize about the Women's Foundation is that data research that, so power of the purse helps fund some of the research that's done. Let's talk about research.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you asked this because, so we are this really interesting hybrid type of an organization. We are a 501c3, but we behave both as a philanthropic engine. We give out grants, you know, the money that we raise at Power the Purse, through donors, through sponsors. You know, at the end of the year, we identify organizations and we give out grants. So we are a grant maker. We get to sit at the table. We're like this, you know, we're one of the smaller foundations in Arkansas. We don't have, you know, a big name behind us, but we are a public foundation, a public charity. We do direct service programs for women and for girls, all under the banner of how this is helping them in their economic potential in Arkansas. But at the heart of all of it, and why we decide or where we decide to spend our money, where we decide to, which programs to create, is all based on research. Research that the Women's Foundation of Arkansas has commissioned and housed, we've collaborated on. And so really what's exciting about, if you go to our website and look at the body of our research, you know, it spans back the whole history of the foundation. In the last 10 years, though, we've had some incredible research in partnership with institutions of higher ed. This is academically produced research, research that any other organization can stand behind that data and that those numbers. And that has been what has really shaped and guided the Women's Foundation of today on where we're working and what projects that we're working on. You know, I think one of the most important works was the 2018 Economic Indicators for Women and Girls, because there was a big conversation about who are we and what are we going to, you know, we do a lot of things and a lot of people want us to be a lot of different things. But I understood the founder's vision and the way that I understood the work we were doing, it was about this economic mobility. And it wasn't about closing the gender pay gap, which is real and love to talk about the gender pay gap. It was about addressing wealth inequality for women, the gender wealth gap.
Yep.
And that is a really nuanced, complex conversation. Like, what is wealth? And so the 2018 report was about economic indicators, the things that build wealth. And that is owning a home, owning a business, educational attainment, access to healthcare, having retirement, having emergency savings. Those are the indicators of wealth. And those are areas, once we had armed with data and statistics that we can look at by state, region, and county, like, hey, this is where we can potentially move a needle if we focus on one of these indicators at a time. You know, we can't do all of it, but what's been really cool from that report, a lot of things have been birthed from it. Woman Run was established.
Yes, all the research.
Yes. Yeah, so really cool.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of that. Like, I'm proud that I can look at the research from 2018 and I can see offshoots of it, right? The 2018 research, again, Women Run, and how, you know, we try to start educating ourselves about entrepreneurship as a vehicle for economic mobility, business ownership. What is the landscape for women business owners in our state? Are there segments of populations of women that have it harder than other women with their businesses? And so we followed up the 2018 with a 2020 report about women of color entrepreneurs.
Right before the pandemic.
It was really during the pandemic. And I have seen you at so many tables for entrepreneur support organizations, ESOs for short. And I get frustrated because I'm, you know, I was a novice to business ownership and for a vehicle for wealth. Like, I mean, what all that I can speak about today as an advocate is literally what I've learned since 2018. But it's very frustrating that if you're going to start a business in Arkansas or you're an existing business owner, where do you go to access resources? Are places that historically don't speak languages that are very accessible for just the average Arkansan. if you don't speak this very special language, this alphabet soup, if you will, you wouldn't know to go to ASBTDC.
The Arkansas Small Business Technology Development Center.
Which that's how they refer to themselves, as the ASBTDC. So who is literally Googling, you know what, I need to Google ESOs, ASBTDC, and figure out how to get support for my business. Nobody would think of that.
Well, even, I mean, I remember, and I've been talking for them for 20 years.
And they're a great organization.
They're great. I really love them. Yeah. But when you tell a business owner, oh, I'm talking to the ASBTDC, you're like, okay, let's back up. What? So yeah, you're right.
Well, and the majority of entrepreneurs wouldn't even use the word entrepreneur to classify themselves.
No, women don't use that word.
They don't. And I remember I was sitting around a table. I'm pretty sure you were there. We were at this event and we had invited this to one side of the table, a bunch of ESOs, uh-huh, a bunch of these entrepreneur support organizations and their leaders. On the other side of the table, we had invited women business owners. And we were saying, like, so woman business owner, how do you plug into the ESO network? And this woman was like, she looked at me, she like whispered it. She's like, what's an ESO? I was like, that's an entrepreneur support organization. And congratulations, you're an entrepreneur. She's like, I am. I'm like, you are. You got an invite to this party because you are an entrepreneur. And she's like, I don't even know.
And she'd been in business for like 20 years.
I mean, and a very prominent business owner. I was like, see, this is a challenge. And the WFA, our role is to really break down barriers. And sometimes barriers are like real and imagined, right? And this is a very simple barrier to overcome. It's a language barrier. It's an accessibility barrier, you know, and we just try to really push entrepreneur support organizations to not just speak to their choir, but speak to the whole congregation, to the whole church.
I remember during the pandemic, there were two articles that came out. Jensen Hallett and I wrote one, and you wrote one. Both essentially, we didn't collaborate, but we were both talking about the same thing of like, there are bridges for women business owners to existing areas of development, like those communities, mm-hmm, chambers of commerce,
sure,
the bank owners, the things like that that can help propel a woman running a business, but those bridges don't exist the way a woman would cross them. Like, they're either doing coffee meetups at 7:30 in the morning when you got to take kids to school, mm-hmm, or it's golfing I got puny little arms. I am not golfing.
Sure.
I mean, so there are those things and just that community building piece. We've done a lot since that time period.
Right.
The Women's Foundation in particular. When we started the Woman Run, out of your research, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you birthed a couple things.
Sure. We're proud of that. But, you know, to unlock financial capital, you need a different type of capital before that.
Social capital.
You need social capital and community capital.
Yeah.
Right? Social capital is you, Meredith Lowery, like, who do you know, right? But community capital is your network working for you, right? And women don't unlock their own social capital, and they rarely unlock their community capital to get to that final stage of, like, financial capital, money for their business or that thing. And here's a real story, too. So on our pandemic year, Power the Purse, we had to completely reimagine it, but we honored, so this would have been 5 years ago, we honored Sissy Jones, who was the founder of Sissy's Log Cabin, right?
Yeah.
You know, probably the most recognized, renowned jewelry business of the state of Arkansas. When she was going to start that, no bank would give her a loan. She was, at the time, I think, single, and she was living in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. She saw literally this building on the side of the road, an old log cabin. She's like, I want to put some of my antiques and some things in there. and she couldn't get a loan from a bank to buy this building. So she had to go to her family and friends to help her raise the money to buy this building. And I like that story because it's, you know, this was the challenge that women had then and still continue to have to this day. And if you are a woman that does not have the ability to walk into a bank and get a loan, which is the majority of women in Arkansas, I mean, even established business owners, and then you don't have a, you don't think about your large network of support to help you get it in some other way. Like, how are you going to get yourself there, right? How are you going to take that thing that you're doing at your kitchen table into a really profitable business? Because again, a business is one of the fastest ways to grow generational wealth and to close that wealth gap.
And cycling back money into the business can be so transformative to the business. But if you're doing the business to put food on the table,
right,
the capital aspect is
right.
It's rough.
And so it's important for organizations like Women Run to have conversations with women about the various aspects. You know, we've brought you in to talk to some of our business owners about, I mean, to think about intellectual property law. Like, why would you need to register your business, give the name of your brand, your business? Why would you need to do that? Like, how do you do that? Right. I tell women now too, and if we're talking about money in general, because that's one of my areas of passion, is that women just don't talk about money, you know, and we need to be reconditioned. We need a culture of talking about our money. Like, we have a culture of talking about our kids and our pets and our parents, right? We need that same culture so we can become more confident, well-versed, and understand the different ways to make it work for us. And in order to do that, you need spices in your cabinet to make a really good meal. You need people in your life that are going to kind of act as your, you know, cabinet, if you will, on decisions that you're going to make. And those people include lawyers, CPAs, bankers, financial advisors. And, you know, you don't have to, you know, I'm telling them, like, go make friends with some, like, get some of these people like in your corner and have, and start having just conversations with them.
Let's talk about the Women's Economic Mobility Hub.
Women's Economic Mobility Hub. That was, so we did the 2018 research report, and then we learned about this whole thing about business ownership. Okay. And then in part of our research, we could actually see in our state where we had the highest concentration of women-owned businesses. It was the Arkansas Delta. And disproportionately, Black women owned more businesses than their male counterparts. And so we really want to understand kind of that intersection of race, gender, and business ownership. And so we did a follow-up report in 2020 called Women of Color Entrepreneurs. And it was a survey in partnership with University of Central Arkansas. This was during the pandemic, you know, reaching out directly to women of color entrepreneurs across the state and understanding what were their most significant challenges to their business. Well, the very number one challenge was accessing financial capital, money. But the WFA focused on the next several items on the list, which was accessing business mentorship. It was communication firms. It was communications, marketing, legal advice, CPA. It was, again, the kind of spices that I was telling you about. It was really kind of eye-opening because that, to me and to our organization, like, that is something that can be solved. It is building community. It is building your social capital and your community capital. So we designed a program that we still host to this day where women business owners apply, women of color business owners apply. We try to focus on recruiting really hard from Delta counties, but women can apply from all over the state. And then over the course of 6 months, we're going to give them money, a grant. We're going to give them a grant, and it's trust-based philanthropy. Hey, this is your money. We're not going to tell you what to do with it, but we're going to give you half up front, and we want you to hang out with us for 6 months while we bring in all these different facets that could potentially help you and your business grow. And we have a night dedicated to accounting, to business finance, to marketing,
intellectual property.
And that program has been so interesting because every time we run it, we learn something different about a different sector or a different thing, and we get to build upon it and make it better, and then have different conversations with those sectors, right? Again, like how, I mean, I think over the course of what we've been doing it now for 4 years, so it originally was now intellectual, but now you've been talking a lot about artificial intelligence.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because I think I went to you, I was like, Meredith, like, AI is everywhere, but no one is talking to you about AI in small businesses, and this is something like, are women, one more thing that are women going to be behind the curve on if we don't break it down and make it more consumable in language that the average Arkansan is using? And so we've been talking about that and still trying to figure out who are trusted people across the state that can really like talk about AI in a way for small business economy. We want people to like listen.
Yeah. One thing that I want to highlight on the WIM Hub, and I guess I should also say, proud board member of the WFA.
But disclose also, your affiliation. Yes. Disclose, we recruit after, but the recruitment was because of how you worked with us on the Women's Economic Mobility Hub, the program, right?
Yeah.
The resource partners that we brought in really became close friends of ours. And again, every time we had a question, we would turn around and go back to those individuals and like, hey, are you exploring this in your sector? You know, because we want to bring this back to women, but help us understand how we do that in a meaningful way, in a meaningful and accessible way.
The WIM Hub, the shortened version, all the alphabet soup. But I work with a lot of these startup accelerators, whatever kind of cohort pieces, some of them give money. Almost all of them, though, are focused, if they're giving money, to high-tech jobs.
Right.
But companies that are the AI providers, not the ones that are providing juice companies or the cupcake shop or the physical therapy locations for kids. I mean, these businesses are our heartblood,
right,
of the community.
This is Main Street, Arkansas.
Yes. And you are helping that thrive, which makes me so happy because those are the businesses that we need.
Well, we need both.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Like, we need both. We need both, you know, fintech, financial technology, which Arkansas, people don't realize that. We're a mecca for financial technology and a lot of those programs and projects that you're talking, cohorts that you're talking about. We've got, you know, some pretty cool entrepreneur support organizations and ecosystems running within our state. They're kind of niche is what you're saying. And for the WFA, we've basically made a seat at the table because like we're trying to like speak up for Main Street businesses in Arkansas. I would challenge someone to go drive to small town Arkansas that still has a square. Okay.
Yep.
You know, and even some of our bigger towns that have a square. When you start walking around that square, I promise you more than half of those businesses will be woman owned.
Oh, I know for a fact because Fayetteville and the city of Fayetteville and Woman Run partner every year at Christmas for the woman owned businesses and getting people to come shop there on a Friday night, get a drink, and walk the square. More than half are woman-owned.
And their motivation is so interesting. When you ask, when you start talking, again, it's just such a cool exercise to do. I mean, I've done it across our state, literally walking town squares and just kind of like for our own anecdotal information, but talking to those women, like they care about their community. Like they want to see their community thrive. So going back to your analogy about, you know, rising tides lift all boats, women as entrepreneurs want to take their profit, not just for their family, but for their community. And this is kind of it is our superpower. It's also our curse. Like we will strip our own wealth to make our community better. And if we can work with resource partners and stakeholders across the state, like let's help these women be successful because Arkansas, if women are successful in our state, the whole state will be successful. If you are a small town Arkansas and your Main Street is thriving, your community is thriving. your culture is thriving. I mean, it is really intricately all tied together. And that's where we as an organizational advocate are just not going to give up on women.
So when we were talking before about the ESOs and our lovely friend, oops, what's an ESO? That was also part of you and the WFA convening a bunch of people, women, mm-hmm. leaders, ESOs, to talk about moving the state forward, helping all of the communities of women-owned businesses or just women. One of the big things you've done in your tenure is help convene all of these leaders. So let's talk about that. What are you doing right now?
Right. So I think the philosophy for me personally for the organization is that it's one of our strengths is to be a convener, because we don't claim to be the expert, but we know who the experts are. We started working closely with Sarah Catherine Gutierrez, her organization. She wrote this incredible book, But First Save 10, and it's really trying to get to individuals that are just about to graduate into the workforce. I'm really talking about savings for retirement. And for 3 years, we worked on this amazing project in collaboration with the state of Arkansas to get in front of teachers, talking about how teachers in Arkansas, men and women, anyone that's employed by a school district, leveraging teacher retirement as a tool to grow wealth. And again, so we find ourselves in these really great spaces, but what's next is furthering the conversation about the different ways that all individuals grow wealth, and ensuring that there is always a look at still what are the challenges that exist for women in that area. The political winds have changed a lot, and it's going to become increasingly harder for work that we do, because there are now words that 6 months ago is a great thing to talk about. Access, equity is all about access, right? Mm-hmm. It was about how do we make sure people have access to things? How do we make sure people have a roadmap to get to these great organizations that exist? That's what the work of equity is. It's not giving someone something that someone else doesn't have. It's about giving someone really the roadmap to get there based on, think about where you live in Arkansas. If you live in Dumas, Arkansas, the directions to get to Little Rock are different from if you live in Fayetteville.
Yep.
You take different roads, right? And along those roads, you're going to encounter different challenges.
Yep.
So that is the work of equity. And, the Women's Foundation of Arkansas is committed to this work. However, whatever we have to call it, whatever new name is going to be popular and acceptable in our culture, we are determined to make sure that women have directions to how to create a better economic future for themselves. If that's educational attainment, if that's home ownership, if that's retirement, if that's ensuring that, the cost of healthcare, cost of childcare, cost of elder care, helping women navigate challenges that disproportionately strip wealth from them.
So things are changing. We're still gonna have the power of the purse.
We are. It's gonna be great this year. It's gonna be fantastic. I'm really excited. I can't tell you the slate yet because I don't know when this is gonna air, this podcast.
I know.
So, but the end of March, we will be announcing formally the women that we'll be honoring this year. Formally and publicly. And it's great. Statewide representation once again. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm going to tell you that. We're going to have a good time. I feel like everyone needs to feel like have a little bit of a break from heaviness right now. And we're going to have a good time at Power the Purse this year.
I know we will probably air this after that.
Okay.
And so the slate will be on our social media.
Okay, great. Great. Okay.
Yeah. Still proud board member.
Right.
Besides Power of the Purse, mm-hmm. we're working on more research, right?
We are, actually. So it's important in Arkansas to get homegrown research, like research produced in Arkansas about Arkansans. So we've actively been like recruiting or kind of requesting quotes for the next research. And much like the 2018 report, I really hope this is going to be a seminal like report, a really comprehensive report. I feel like it's going to be focused on working moms. There's a lot of conversation in our state right now about maternal health because, you know, we have the worst maternal mortality rates in the country. But, you know, in that conversation, again, there's so many nuanced things about that conversation. It's about, you know, access to healthcare. It's about transportation. It's about our culture. It's about family leave practices. It's also about the cost of childcare, the cost of elder care. And so I heard Olivia Walton a few years ago speak about this. She's a huge advocate for maternal health and raising awareness about maternal mortality. But she said this to Roby Brock on a stage in Fort Smith, I think, or Fort Smith or Rogers, somewhere in Northwest Arkansas. And I just happened to be in at whatever this event was. And, you know, she looked at Roby Brock and said, you know, nobody ever asks if mom's okay.
Because, oh, I remember that event.
And it's like, because, and I was like, and that just like stuck with me. And so I've been determined to get research produced about like, is mom okay? Right. I mean, can she put food on the table for her kids? Can she afford for childcare? You know, is she able to like, you know, live in her home? I mean, I think that these are things I hope bring Arkansans together, because when you think about a mom in Arkansas, I think that that is a conversation that is bipartisan, that is, this is a reality. You know, we want our families to be strong. And I think at the center of family is a mother.
I think this is going to be very important research. You know, Fayetteville during the pandemic looked hard at the cost of childcare.
Mm-hmm.
It was not limited to moms paying for childcare. It was all parents,
of course,
paying for childcare. But at the heart of it, too, we can see the moms exiting out of the workforce. And when you've got one kid, childcare is somewhat obtainable. It's not the most obtainable thing. At times, it's still going to be that stressor. Yeah. And we know those stressors lead to other health outcomes. But then on the other side of things, too, you got two kids within that childcare age. There's usually going to be some sort of exit out of the workforce until a kid's back in. And you're still dealing with that stressor of where does the kid go during the summer? What happens when there's a snow day or a pandemic of all things?
Sure.
And those costs lead to just these weird financial outcomes for women. And there's this lovely book out there about data feminism, and Woman Run's going to start doing a Goodreads too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's been a big source of that data for me.
Well, and let's plug for a second, we still have enough time, the 2022 report the Women's Foundation did.
Yep.
So that was coming out of the pandemic, and we approached the then gubernatorial administration, Governor Asa Hutchinson, who's termed out. Arkansas had not had a women's commission in 50 years. And we thought, you know what? We've got a great relationship with the governor's office. We've worked on some various projects and some different things that we've done. Like, we're going to ask, like, isn't this the time, like, to reinstate the commission with a focus on how to get women back to work? Because the pandemic was known as the great she session, because so many women exited the workforce. And it was a really like critical time for all industries of kind of like, we need workers. And this is what I love about doing economic development work for women. It's like, you know, you need us a lot. Like you know, for your company to be successful, you need to hire quality candidates. And, you know, when more than half your population is female, you got to think about, you know, how do you get females into the workplace? Well, this was a great report about what's it going to take to get women back to the work? Like, what does that need to look like? And big things out of that report were supporting, you know, the small business economy for women and minorities, but it also had a big focus on childcare. And to your point, Meredith, like the why everyone should care is like, this is actually not just an issue for women. It's an issue for men and women, all yep. families in Arkansas. Like the cost of childcare is significant. Again, and we want a healthy future tomorrow. We want a next generation of Arkansans. So we want families. We want families to exist. We've got to figure out a way that families in Arkansas can live here, work here, thrive here.
Yeah. Thank you. For the Women's Foundation, the Women's Commission, all the work you are doing in Arkansas and moving the ball forward.
Thank you. It's great to spend the afternoon talking to you.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Woman Run Podcast. Thank you, Annabeth, for sharing your story with us. I know it will inspire our listeners. Be sure to follow Woman Run on social media for announcements about upcoming podcast speakers and events.